I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, look, as always, I'm glad to be with you.
You may recall a few weeks ago we talked at some length about the retail sector, and I thought you may care to balance things up a little by delving into industrial property. So let's start with a quick overview of the Australian market.
Well, yes, we talked about retail, and as you know, my preference is still offices first, probably suburban offices first, followed by industrial and then retail at the moment, a distant third. And most of the focus, certainly the headlines you read, is focused around the offices and particularly CBD offices in Sydney and Melbourne in particular, and mainly because a lot of them are big ticket items. And so industrial property seems to get left behind, and I suppose the sort of relative weakness in the industrial demand over the last 12 or so months has been reflected in the level of overseas interest. And in actual fact, there's only about 3% of foreign direct investment in Australian real estate that is going into industrial property over the last 4 or 5 years. Now, the interesting thing is that in this last quarter of 2014, there has been $500 or $600 million worth of industrial property that's been under due diligence by offshore groups. Now, if all those transactions are completed in the run-up to Christmas, and there's no reason why most of them won't be, well, then that would push for the 12 months, the overseas foreign investment up to around 10 or 12% of the total transactions, which is, you know, well above the five-year average. So it's probably the poor cousin as far as foreign interest in industrial property, mainly because most investors from Hong Kong or Singapore or Malaysia tend to gravitate towards office projects, and mainly because they have larger sums of money to invest. And, you know, we're talking 25 million to 200 odd million. And it's difficult to buy industrial property in that price bracket. If you do, it's generally a much larger property with a single tenant. And while that has a lot of benefits, making it easy to manage, the problem you've got is if that tenant leaves down the track, you have to either find a replacement tenant for the whole lot or hope that you've bought a property that can be subdivided, which is not all that easy with industrial property, into smaller components for multiple tenants to occupy it. So that may be the reason why there's not a lot of overseas interest, but certainly the demand for industrial property has picked up over the past 6 months.
Now, let's get specific.
Well, let's start with Victoria and South Australia, where over the past 2 years, the incentives being offered to tenants has more than doubled. And that's because landlords have been increasing their efforts to draw tenants into their vacant industrial properties. And I think that was borne out by a recent report by CBRE. Now, face rents have remained stable, but incentives have gone up to, say, 30% in West Melbourne, and that's to attract tenants and allow the owners to develop the land. And the sweeteners in South Australia have pushed net rents lower as well. So we're finding that it's, yes, you get doing the deals and the face rent, that's what's written into the lease. And when the incentive, which is either rent-free or a contribution to fit-out, expires, that's the rent that they'll be paying. But the true net rent, the effective net rent, is lower than the face rent when you take into account the incentive. Now, Western Australian landlords have also raised their incentives, and there's a stabilising of some of the incentives for the prime warehouses. In other words, the top shelf warehouses as opposed to the middle order investment warehouses don't seem to be able to or have to give away as large an incentive to attract the tenants. And once again, the CBRE reports that these prime rents in Western Australia, while they fell close to 4% last year, they will probably end up rising by 0.7% this year, and that'll be followed by 1.3% anticipated during next year, and then 2016 we'll see an increase close to 3% per annum in the rents themselves. Now, part of the reason for this is the falling dollar and the improving economy, which is having a boosting effect upon confidence, along with the fact that there's greater housing construction going on and there's consumer-led growth of demand for industrial facilities to support online retailing. And all of that is really combining to frame better prospects going forward for the industrial sector. Now, while growth has outstripped demand in this calendar year, the balance will improve over the next year. And so, returning to Melbourne, the improved demand it will help absorb that higher supply that's coming through onto the market this year. And as I said, you would expect during 2015 that there'll be a better balance and likelihood of rent increases going forward. However, in Perth, apart from the prime industrial properties, you're going to find the increased supply will continue to keep pressure on net face rents.
What about New South Wales and Queensland?
In New South Wales, you're seeing those super prime warehouses, the rents there have risen about 2% during the last quarter, and rental growth is likely to outpace the national average over the next 12 months because it's being driven by transport and logistics centres, and probably about a quarter of the sales, worth around about $175 million, which is more than the half of the $300-odd million worth of total transaction, were bought by developers who have been paying premiums for sites in Auburn, West Ryde and Rosebery. In Brisbane, there, the market is, the improved state of the economy has increased the supply of land with just over 400 square metres due to be completed this year, which is up on last quarter, and yields on both the super prime industrial properties and the secondary properties have tightened by about 25 basis points over the past 12 months. And there's an appetite for speculative development, which is on the increase. And just returning to Victoria for the moment, despite the higher incentives having to be offered, developers continue to invest in industrial land, where there's about 500,000 square metres of industrial space scheduled to come onto the market. However, with the strong demand for quality investment opportunities likely to continue in the foreseeable future, there's an actual lack of stock, which is likely to continue to drive demand for industrial land going forward.
Where do you see things heading from here?
Well, Ken, that's a pretty tough question. And if it's okay with you, I might answer that in a general sense rather than just focusing on any particular capital city market. But with the falling dollar, which we've covered a bit in the last few weeks over with the podcasts, what you're going to start seeing is a renewed interest in doing things locally, and particularly for the retailers, because any decline in the dollar makes shopping online or overseas more expensive. There's just a cost differential. The price hasn't gone up effectively, but when you do the exchange rate adjustment, yes, it has. So therefore, retail sales you would expect to improve, not necessarily to the point where I'd rush in and buy retail property. But as retailers' turnover increases, therefore they need to store more goods. And that basically is what our industrial sector does. There's manufacturing as such is not something that Australia does a lot of. Sure, we export raw materials, but we don't really manufacture much. And in fact, looking at the car industries closing down and so forth, they're really the last of the major manufacturers. So it is the logistics and transport that is what's going to drive the demand for industrial property. And also, I think there's going to be an expansion, or a lot of owner-occupiers looking to move that have probably outgrown their space maybe even 3, 4, 5 years ago, but because of the global financial crisis have put off expanding into something larger. Now, they may or may not continue to buy their property. They may well choose to sell their property and do a deal with a developer to pre-lease and have something built, and that takes the risk out of it, so therefore they'll get a better rent deal. And the reason I say that is because not only has the dollar fallen, but with oil plummeting the way it has, that is a major component for a lot of these logistic companies. I mean, sure, wages are important, but the cost of running their fleet, whether it's cars or prime movers for industrial distribution of container loads of goods, it represents a huge cost component. Now, as they start to feel more confident, they see America picking up in activity, China, the government now starting to realize that they've adjusted things enough, so therefore their economy will start to buzz along again, albeit not at 10%, probably still at 7.5%, but not in the sense that it's booming in quite the way it was. But also the Chinese government is looking at buying from developers a lot of the vacant housing and using it to house a lot of people that have been dislodged from their rural properties. So the developers will clear their books as far as that's concerned and will ultimately start building again, which will, particularly if iron ore is cheaper, will make any development in China a lot cheaper. So I am reasonably bullish about the demand for iron ore, and as a result of that, coal as well, because you need that to make steel. So all in all, I sense there's a general confidence. I know we've had government changes, and I know there's been an apparent lack of activity on the federal politics, but business as such is going to get tired of doing nothing. And the overseas, that's probably a good barometer of the amount of overseas money pouring into Australia, is telling us that we're so close to our economy. And yes, it's been quiet with the global financial crisis, but gee, it's all relative. I mean, many economies around the world would die for the state of our economy. And it's just that relative to what it was in 2005, 2007, yes, it's not as active, but it's still solid, fundamentally in good shape. And so, as I said, you get these circuit breakers with the oil price plummeting, the dollar falling and staying around 85, maybe going down to 80 cents. And you just get the feeling that things are a lot better than some of the pundits and certainly the press are painting it to be. Yes, we have a large deficit, But we don't have a financial crisis. We should be getting the debt down, there's no question, but not to the point of putting too many constraints on the economy. Therefore, I see the demand for industrial property continuing to improve over the next 3 to 5 years.
So, to summarise, maybe you could just recap on your recommendation for investors when choosing between the three commercial sectors.
Yeah, look, I touched on it before. I still have a preference for offices, suburban offices. Yes, the industrial market is improving, but I really feel we need to probably get halfway through next year, probably towards the end of 2015, before I would really suggest you jump into the industrial market. If you can secure a property now with a good 5-year lease on it to a solid tenant, and ideally on a corner position that gives you some flexibility down the track, that, you know, if the tenant did leave, you could at least carve it up and you've got several frontages that you can work with. But really, I think your focus for the foreseeable future ought to be on suburban offices, and then, as I said, towards the end of next year, you can start to look at industrial property. Retailing is still, in my view, there's a lot of catch-up to occur. The rents have just risen without any logic and reason behind them, mainly because they have automatic increases have been written into the leases, but the turnover has probably fallen. Certainly the profit has fallen for most retailers. And so I believe that you're going to need to see the dollar fall a bit further and remain lower to encourage people to shop locally, both in-store and online. And as soon as they do that, the real beneficiary is going to be industrial property anyway. So keep the order, offices, industrial, retail, but obviously you need to monitor the various sectors, and even within the relative to capital cities relative to one another, because it's not a blanket statement, because each capital city is going to move differently. And obviously Sydney has started to move already, and you're going to find Melbourne will follow. Some of the other capital cities are a bit behind with industrial property, and that's why for predictability and both in income return and likely growth, I would still stick to office property.
Yes, I think that now puts everything into perspective.
Look, don't get me wrong. I personally like both retail and industrial property, but not right now at this point in the current investment cycle.
No, I appreciate what you're saying, and thank you for the way in which you've explained it all.
It was my pleasure, Ken.